Isaiah 41 to 55. For the Feast of Tabernacles, or for use at any time, whether you play it at your private assembly and a new congregation, your house church, or you're at some sort of a official gathering, a Feast of Tabernacles, and you are augmenting or supplementing this to go along with the preaching that you're receiving there at that feast day. Or perhaps not even a feast day time, you're just celebrating and listening right now, Feast of Tabernacles, year-round. That would be really, really wonderful. Isaiah 41. During the Feast of Tabernacles, in verse 19, verse 18, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. Rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the cypress tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together. What amazing prophecy here that needs its final fulfillment, and you're going to get it. We're going to get the final fulfillment here of Isaiah 41, in verse 20. The box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this, and the separated one of the Hebrews has created it. Produce your cause, saith Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the king of Yaakov. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter of them, or declare us things to come. Verse 26. Who has declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time that we may say, He is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, Behold, behold them. I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. So there's building up here for, he's building up to tell us about the Messiah, about himself. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. That reminds me of a radio preacher that I've heard, wind and confusion, but we think of the idols out there that we have formed on the earth, all of the idolatry, that anything that takes our mind totally off of Yahweh, whether it be the media, some kind of entertainment, even a religion. Sports, that takes 10 hours out of the week in reading the sports page alone, not including going to the game. And how much should we give Yahweh per week? An hour and a half, right? No, 45 minutes, I think, was what we first decided to give him. 45 minutes a week, and that was enough. The rest of it, I mean, it's our life, right? So why should he get that much? You know, it's just whatever's left over. Because life is hard enough. I'm not going to share with anybody. I don't have time for that. But that was the heart of a unsaved person. You know, who had not been conformed to Yahweh's ways, to his law. Anybody who would care about Yahweh would do anything to get to the feasts and the Sabbath days and to keep these days. Isaiah 42, verse 8 to about 21. Who is Yahweh? Who is the Messiah? Here we go. I am Yahweh. That's how in the King James it just shows the title, which is not even the right title. It shows L-O-R-D. I am Yahweh. That is my name. So you can't put title in there. I am the title, and that is my name. That wouldn't make any sense. And my esteem will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto Yahweh a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, you that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. From the top of the mountains, let them give kavod, or esteem, unto Yahweh, and declare his praise in the islands. The islands all over the world, the nations, the continents, let us declare his praise. Yahweh shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. Yahweh of the armies, he shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time held my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands. Now here's the good part. I will make waste mountains and hills. Or he's going to kind of, symbolically anyway, he's going to turn the world upside down, as we're studying here during the, as we're rejoicing during the feast, Tabernacles. He's going to dry up their herbs. That doesn't sound so good, but keep reading. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I think that includes those of us who are spiritually blind. I think that includes all of us that were partially spiritually blind in one part of our vision or another. We always have to, why do we always have to lean on someone else to, you know, share some part of the truth? Well, shows we're not complete yet. But, so no one knows at all at this point, but at Isaiah 42:16, you're going to be, your mind is, hearts are going to be opened up, converted. I wasn't converted was the adverb I was looking for back there. That's why I didn't have any hunger for Yahweh's word or to you know, be around his people and in his temple, in his courts, in his synagogues, or formerly in the churches. I just didn't have any thirst for the word and for singing and being thankful for the blood that Yahweh Hosha shed for me on the tree at Calvary. And, well, you know, I knew about it, but what would I care? And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. I'm deliberately pausing there. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our Elohim. Now that's a current thing that we do. We're not actually, hopefully, we're not actually looking at statues and saying that, but we're looking at our own man-made creations and idols, our Elohim. Verse 18, hear you deaf, you deaf. So we're not only blind, but we're deaf now. Deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who was blind but my servant? Or deaf, as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as Yahweh's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not? We see a lot, but we don't observe. And opening the ears, but he heareth not. O people who are full of all kinds of weird spiritual ideas, of course, they see all these things, don't they? And they hear everything. But it's way off from the truth here in the Word. They might be hearing from the Spirit, but it's a difference. The Spirit out there, what kind of a Spirit is it? Well, it might just be of their own imagination. There might be some others, devil, a spirit, that is introducing thoughts. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law, the Torah. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And he did. Remember, he came and spoke to us on the on the Mount. That was the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:18. He magnified the law and made it honorable. But how about right now, though? What's up with us? But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Well, there's the so-called restoration movements, but they're just not complete. They don't go far enough. Who among you will hear ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Oh, we always argue about that law, don't we? Never seems to get anywhere, no matter how much of this book of Isaiah or any part of the word we quote, that we study, that we read. Let us just sit down. You can't just stand there, two people arguing about it. You got to sit down, first of all, put your seat on a seat, then open the book, that's the second thing, and then of course pray, and then after that they're gone. I don't want to go to that much trouble, so they're gone, see? You didn't have to worry about it. It's taken care of when you said, well, let's open the Word. Oh, I got to go, I something really important. Isaiah 43:19. The next chapter here, chapter 43, and then verse 19. There's much here that I'm having to skim past, but this is all building up to Messiah's presentations, his first and second presentation. He has, of course, appeared the first time addressing sin and repentance, righteousness and judgment. Yahweh not only preached that on the Sermon on the Mount, but the entire Genesis to the Revelation. He's already done that in black and white here for us, and some have the red letter, but if I had a red letter edition, I'd insist on Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 being in red, because those are all Yahweh's words. Those are all the Messiah's words, because he is the Word. So I indeed would have a red letter edition, wouldn't you? 43:19 then. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, it shall spring forth. Behold, I will do a new thing, it'll spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make even a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We keep hearing that theme during this Feast of Tabernacles. Well, I haven't, and I probably won't get to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 is a big Feast of Tabernacles chapter. It's the last chapter there in Zechariah. So rivers in the desert, streams in the wilderness. We're going to have wells with hope. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give, I don't know what that's symbolic of, I didn't look them up, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Is that literal water? Well, it could be, but even more, you know, he's giving us the water of life, the living waters from the Messiah, from Yahweh HaMashiach. Yahweh Hosha, and some still say Yeshua, some still say Jesus. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. See, here's the problem. We go into the church, but what do they do? What do they talk about in there? Some irrelevant thing, normally. You know? But thou hast not called upon me, Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O says Israel. O Hebrew people, thou hast not brought me the small cattle of my burnt offerings, neither hast thou, and these days it's not burnt offerings, you know, it's the, Romans 12 says we offer up ourselves as an offering of praise, neither hast thou honored me with thy slaughter offerings or offerings. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering. See, that was not originally planned. The added law was the offerings, the sacrifices, because of sin, the burnt offerings, the death penalty, and so on, those were done away with when Messiah died for us. But he says, I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with an incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy offerings. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with your iniquities, with your law-breaking. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. all that commandment breaking and Sabbath breaking. I, even I am, that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be made right or justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. And then it goes on there. So we'll go on to 44, verse 1. Well, I think we have one more verse to read. Why skip that? It's only one. We shouldn't skip them anyway, huh? Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the set-apart place, or Mikodesh in Hebrew. Certainly not the word sanctuary, but I have profaned the princes of the Mikodesh, and have given Jacob to the curse, and the Hebrews to reproaches. So he's turned us over for a while for as a reproach. He's turned us over to be chastised and not to be punished for our sins, but we need punishment for our lessons, as a lesson. Are you ever going to learn, or are you just going to keep repeating the bad history that we will never learn from his story? I think that we will never learn, until Yahweh comes back. But why should I give up? Well, actually, I sometimes try to give you the, personally, I give you the impression that I break all the commandments all the time or something. The main ones that I'm guilty of would be a lack of faith in Yahweh, or, not spending enough time with him, not studying enough. So lack of faith, so that's lack of love, right? But I don't want to give you the false impression that I'm out there, being sexually immoral, things like that, or heavy idolatry, spiritual adultery, and so on. Hopefully that I've been delivered from that. I've come out of Babylon, out of the RCC. My heavens, I, had great connections back when I was young. They weren't great. Now they're not great connections, but I did all that. I was with all these big churches and became an altar boy and memorized the prayers, and I was quite zealous at all of that, but didn't have Yahweh in my heart. I was not committed and dedicated to him. And now we're on track. We're starting to go here uphill instead of just either downhill or just status quo. And so this is the message about Yahweh, about Yahweh-Hoshea the Messiah, and that's what the feast is all about, isn't it? Isaiah 44, at least 1 to 9, and then you could finish up the chapter on your own. So we can save time for everyone else here. 44, 1, yet now hear, O Jacob, O Yaakov, my servant, and the Hebrews, Jacob, and the northern tribes up there, all these tribes, who are they? We don't know who we are. Whom I have chosen, thus saith Yahweh that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am Yahweh's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of, it says here, Israel. I'll replace that with the name of the Hebrews, or the northern tribe. Thus saith the king, thus saith Yahweh, the king of the Hebrews, and his redeemer, Yahweh of the armies, I am first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no Elohim. And so he's the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav. So he's the beginning and the end. So there's, who else was there before him? Or who is there going to be after him? No one. And who am I, as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Let them show unto them. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim? And is there a mighty one beside me? Yet there is no mighty one. I know not any beside him, in other words. He is the only mighty one, the maker, the eternal. And that's a valid title for Yahweh. But as we explained on the website, Yahweh, not Yahweh, G-O-D is just a title, and it's the wrong one. It's way, way off. How could millions of people and such great leaders, Billy Graham and so forth, not catch that problem? Well, I don't know. I'm nobody. And it was easy. I just looked it up. And then I honestly confessed that I was wrong. I was a sun worshiper. I was using these sun worshiping titles and names and days, and we just had to let him make it right in our lives and forgive us for being sun worshiping people. Verse 9, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses, and they see not know, that they may be ashamed. Who has formed an Elohim or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? And we've formed a lot of those molten images. And then the next verse I want to read is 11. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men, let them all be gathered together, let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. So that's the main thing. Shouldn't we be a little bit more ashamed, shamefaced than we are for all the foolishness that we've done? Yes, we should. And now we'll turn the book of Isaiah. We'll keep turning a couple of pages over to chapter 47. And we're skipping a lot of great places there. So if you haven't yet, I hope you'll go back there. And if you've already read these things, we'll read them again, because they confirm and they declare, establish, and build again our faith in the Messiah, who he is. But we're going to, that's the theme. Who is Messiah? Why should we love him? Why are we even here? But here's a specific issue in chapter 47:13. You know, what is the problem? You keep saying there's a problem, Stefan Yao. So what is the problem? Well, I said immorality is the problem, and idolatry. Also Sabbath breaking. That's scriptural. That's Ezekiel 20, that's prophecy. But in verse 13 there of chapter 47, it says, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the... Now here's some of the problems. The astrologers, and this is current. We have this kind of thing going on right now. Maybe it's disguised, called by another name. Astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. So we can't always paint with a broad brush. We have to have a nice elite point on the end of that brush, and be clear about what is wrong anyway. Is it something that can't really be figured out? It's one of these mystical things, or do you just have to kind of pray and hear through the wall by some spirit? No, it's specific. And, there's specifics, too, in Galatians 5 and throughout the Word as to what is wrong. There's what is right and what's wrong. Looking through the Torah, Exodus, all the way through the Torah to Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 49, verse 8. 49:8-15, staying more here on the Feast of Tabernacles. And Yahweh was sent to the Gentiles. Now some say the Gentiles are just Jews who were broken off the good olive tree. The strangers, or in other words, those who have wandered away from the faith once delivered unto the saints, as he said there in the book of Jude. Isaiah 49:8, thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Also see 2 Corinthians 6:2, that they got some ink there in the way, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in thy ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. Don't worry if you don't understand everything here, every single word. We want to go to a real nice word study on why we have to travel to the feast from giveshare.org or just from the Strong's Concordance. It's real simple. Well, any study is complicated, but it's a simpler study. Verse 10, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them. That's talking about our Messiah. He has mercy on us, and he'll lead us. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them, by his living water. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Here in chapter 49 of Isaiah, verse 12, my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains, for Yahweh has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, Yahweh has forsaken me. So here, do we do this every day or do we not? Zion, that can be us, or that can be you if you're a physical Jew in Jerusalem right now, but whatever, it applies to all of us. Zion said, Yahweh has forsaken me, and my Yahweh has forgotten me. But the question then, he asks us, is can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. So praise Yahweh, he is rescuing us and delivering us. The Messiah is coming. That's the good news, the great news. Let's go to chapter 52. That's the good news of the Feast of Tabernacles. 52 verse 1, and then we'll skip 52:1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the separated city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now 6 to 15, 52:6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he. I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth great tidings, that publisheth peace or shalom. And that's not just the lack of war or some little lovey soft thing. True peace means really, really obeying Yahweh. That bringeth good tidings of great things, that publisheth salvation or deliverance, that publisheth deliverance. Thus saith unto Zion, that saith unto Zion, that Yahweh reigneth. Also see Nahum 1:15, the book of Nahum 1:15, and the so-called Old Testament. Yahweh reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. He's going to bring us full salvation. I wouldn't say that we're totally saved yet. We still have sinful nature. We still have curses all around us. The food is getting worse, and man isn't helping that either. The scientists, well, they do help a little bit, but I think that overall they're bringing us in the wrong direction, away from good health. They don't even know what cures these dreadful diseases in our bodies that we spend billions of dollars, trillions in the hospitals. Well, it's what goes in. It's the food that we consume. They say, well, it's something in the air. Well, then why do you open the window? If the air is bad, don't open the window, because then you'll get sick. No, it's not in the air, unless you're living in Cleveland or Philadelphia or someplace where you have a lot of pollution. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Hi, hooray! Allah Yahweh. Yahweh has made bare his separated arm, and the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of Yahweh. Depart you, go you out from thence. We're supposed to, you know, he says, come out of them, or come out of her, my people, he says in the book of the Revelation. Come out of the great whore. Depart you, depart, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing. So here it is in the future. Something is still unclean. I thought that he did away with everything that was unclean. Well, I didn't think that, but it was as if people think that there are no unclean animals, there's no unclean sexual acts, and so on. And no unclean this, no, you know, everything's clean now, right? Since the Messiah died for us on the tree. Picked up a poisonous snake or a poisonous fish. That there you go. A poisonous Japanese fish and eat the entire from snout to tail and see if you live. There's a lot of unclean out there, and some of it is very poisonous. Touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her, be clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. Now don't pollute your temple. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says do not violate and don't pollute. Don't get out in the world either, and don't pollute your temple. Or be contaminated. You know, sometimes another person can even contaminate you because they have too much filth that they've accumulated. It's not they're deliberately trying to contaminate you. It's just they've been around too many times around the wrong kind of friends. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go out by flight, for Yahweh will go before you, and the mighty one of the chosen people will be your reward. It says re-reward. I'll go for that too. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Who's my servant? That's the Messiah. That's the son of Yahweh. Yahweh the Father. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, or astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So amazed. So shall he sprinkle many nations. He's going to clean us. He's cleaning us up, not only spiritually, but physically. And the king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Cool. They'll finally understand. I mean, they're not going to just keep talking so much that they don't even understand anything. Just keep the brain and the mouth running, and then they don't get anything out of it because they won't stop for a second, pause, and reflect, you know, consider, kind of have a Jewish way of thinking at things instead of the Gentile way. You know, we need to think of it, of the whole picture, think of it all symbolically as well. Chapter 54, 53 now deals with the Messiah, that he died for our sins. And, you know, where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. And that classic verse, surely, in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So that definitely does not refer to the nation of Israel, to the Hebrews. It is referring to the Messiah. It can't possibly refer to a nation. But anyway, well, they'll argue and they say, well, yes, it does. I don't care. Let them say it. 54:17 then. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh. Next chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. A very symbolic verse there. And, you know, we're to buy from Yahweh and by the Spirit, he will purchase for us our salvation and give us the Spirit. He will impart His Spirit to us. And then drop down to verse, where did I go? Okay, I did that. Verse 6, we might look at 6 and 7 quickly. Seek ye Yahweh while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. So here we are, we're preaching repentance on this day. Let the wicked forsake his way. Well, repent of what? Well, repent of breaking the Torah, of breaking everything that he told us to do or not to do in the Sermon on the Mount and all the way through the Scriptures. And the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him and to our mighty one for the eternal, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. Now, not until we learn his ways, and then we'll be in one. We will be echad with Yahweh. For my thoughts, so we need to get those Yahweh thoughts, not just Hebraic thoughts, but Hebraic mentality, but we need to have the Yahweh-like mentality. And that's not just by going to Hebrew class to learn how to read and speak Hebrew, but by reading the Word, specifically the Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, specifically Exodus through Deuteronomy. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen carefully, 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, you know that, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Oh, I'm having a little water myself. So shall my word be. It's not going to return void. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing. We're coming to the end here, but it shall prosper in the things whereunt I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Clap their hands. Those are Yahweh's people, not literal trees, but it's the Yahweh's believers, or Hebrews, if you would, not just Jewish people, but all people who have believed in Yahweh. And we could actually call him that, though. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to Yahweh for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, he's not going to erase our name from the book. That is, if we want to be with him. If we don't want to be with him and don't want to be saved and don't want to be, believers, well, we wouldn't feel too comfortable there in the separated city. Okay, now, why should we attend the feast days? Let's see. Yeah, I think we ran out of time here. We're probably up to about 40 minutes. There's no peace, saith Yahweh, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:21. But we'll continue there in the next one about why do we have to go up to the feast. But be thankful so much for this word. Isaiah 56. Let me see. I'm not supposed to get that in there? No? Okay. Well, we'll open up then with 56 here in a moment. And thank you for joining us. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Keep that feast that cometh at Jerusalem. Paul did. Messiah certainly did. They all wore the priestly attire. And I think you should too. I've been doing that for the most part. It's been kind of difficult to transform into Yahweh's believer that he wants us to be and look like, you know. Why should we look like the world? What's different about us if we don't dress a little bit differently, dress like Yahweh told us to dress like, and instead of what the world and modern magazines and television style type books, they tell us, you know, how to wear our hair and stuff. Well, Yahweh's already given us instructions on that. And why should we watch the pagan garbage that they have out there? Why shouldn't we obey Yahweh instead of trying to follow the leader out there, that follow men? Let's follow the leader Yahweh from now on. And we will be different. We'll be Kodesh. We'll be separate from the world. So, shalom for now. And we'll fellowship with you soon.